11:59 at Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I've got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network, a radio station focused on growing indomitable all-American 21st century liberty. This live episode of the Patriot Power Hour is brought to you by Ready-Made Resources. Plan, prepare, preserve with ReadyMadeResources.com. Now, let's welcome our hosts. Ben, the breaker of banksters, Cochran, and Future Dan, the editor-in-chief of the most original news radar on the planet, FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour. Welcome back, everybody. It's April 16th, 2019, Season 5 Finale, Episode 54. Ben, the breaker of banksters, Cochran here with Future Dan at FutureDanger.com. How you doing, sir?
Doing great. This is episode 54. Call-in live number is 619-789-6804.
All day. 619-789-6804. Actually, not literally all day. You can only call in live when we're doing our show. But literally, that number will be around forevermore, 619-789-6804. So this is the Season 5 finale, Future Dan. And guess what? Yesterday was tax day. And that's the one thing that I could rant all day, all year about.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. Maybe I got my rant out a little bit when we were talking before the show. But nothing pisses me off more than just the entire situation surrounding it. I'll start by saying, for every dollar of tax they actually collect, they spend much more. So remember, all those taxes you pay, they're still spending more than
that. That's a separate issue from the tax itself.
We'll leave it at that. And then going into the tax itself, we were looking at all the different taxes out there. We've got payroll tax, property tax, consumption tax, but income tax is what we're specifically talking about here. The April 15th tax day, the one everyone dreads, right? So going back in the time machine, we looked up the Congress, which helped pass and ratify that, as well as, of course, the Federal Reserve Act, all with Woodrow Wilson in power right before
and entered
during,
World War One,
and exactly right into and after World War One, right up to 1918.
Passed a bunch of laws because it was wartime suddenly.
Able to just get that stuff through.
16th Amendment rammed through.
Exactly. So that wasn't that long ago, even though it seems like it. I guess it's been more than a century we've been under this, actually, so that is a pretty darn long time. It's 2019, what you know, back in 1913. But still, that tax did not exist for much of America's existence.
And too many people just have grown used to it in its current form that we thought today, in the season finale of the winter season, fifth successful season of Patriot Power Hour, that we dig into the income tax. Ben, I'm going to go through a list here. It's just the general ways you could tax a society.
Nonpartisan, just basic economics.
This
here's
is
how
ways
you can
governments
tax.
Can do it. All okay. right. Obviously, the income tax, right? You could tax property, real estate in particular, and also larger pieces of property. They are currently taxed as a method. Consumption taxes, tariffs, and you could get into fees and tolls where you just pay for a service direct, like a transaction from the government. And I'd like to add to the list, there's inheritance tax methodology.
Okay.
It's a form of, you know, capital gains tax. So, oh, yeah, also capital gains.
Oh, yeah. All right. Don't forget that one by
which
any
one,
means.
If you could only choose one, if it's constitutionally only one were the method that this republic, at the federal level, collected taxes, which is ideal.
For me personally, from my economic training, you know, master's in finance.
Because we're not going down the road where there shouldn't be a federal tax. Like, that's like saying that we should go down the road of let's not have nuclear bombers anymore when other people are building more and better of them.
Right.
We have to pay for things.
Right. Exactly. But we still, obviously, our budget, pretty much the entire world combined, is equal to ours. So I think we can find some cuts in there. So from my, you know, I have a master's in finance for what that's worth, but also worked in the insurance and kind of financial industry. And in my opinion, the most effective and fairest tax is consumption tax. So I would caveat that a little bit by saying basic food and clothing and very basic supplies would have low tax, not zero. Everyone needs some skin in their game, to be honest, but very low for that type of stuff. They already have that at grocery stores right now in a way. You know, some of those things are tax-free. Some are taxed very highly, like alcohol and cigarettes, for example. But I believe that would be fair.
That's a form of consumption.
But my question is, to get rid of the income tax and replace it with a sales tax, I haven't done the math. I don't have it in front of me. I'm not Herman Cain with the 999 plan or whatever. But you'd have to raise that sales tax to, like, I'm just guessing, like 60, 70% or something crazy. But that, I think that's still way more fair and for everybody, especially the middle and lower classes, to have a huge sales tax because they're not really buying much, but it'll incentivize them to work. And
here's what happens:
why the income tax is the worst.
50 years, and Europe did it wisely, is the value-added tax, where each level of production, like steel makers selling to the car dealer, car manufacturer selling to the consumer, now they tax at three levels. It's called value-added.
Right.
How would you support consumption taxes at the federal level if, you know, think of the reams and layers of federal regulation that, like, the previous president added volumes and volumes and tens of thousands, I don't know, perhaps hundreds of thousands of pages of federal regulation, which Trump came in and just basically abrogated, which has certainly taken the foot off of the neck of the economy. It's breathing again. It's growing, maybe not as well as we, you know, had previously reported. But if you let a bureaucracy, think of what would it take to enforce? You can't have value added. Do you agree?
Yeah, no, I think that's
point of sale.
An insidious way. Yes, exactly. I think value added is a very insidious way to, you know, double count.
Let me tell you, if
like you're
going to do it that way, I think what ideal would look like, and I think it's a little more extreme than you, but yeah. I would say food, unprepared food, water, basic homesteading manufacturers, seeds, firearms, any kind of weaponry, blacksmithing, gunsmithing, certain classes of straight up survival were set off limits. It would be an extension of the rights under the Second Amendment in effect.
Okay, I like that. You have the right to actually build your own tools.
Untaxable. And transfers
at
between
a basic
them.
Level. Huh.
And transfers between them would also be untaxable. Outside of that, three graded layers, like three ranges, like, you know, 1% to 10, and then 10 to 20, and 20 to 30.
Okay.
And then every Congress has to reapprove all the echelons of the lobbying would be intense, but it would be a massive hand on the economy for the legislature to assign a class. You're this industry, you're hitting in these classes, but you can't let it be a free range because every single one, 18-17%, tariffs are like that.
Right.
Tariffs, I think, in my background, as an Adam Smith free trader, I came up with that conservative belief system. But what has become true, and the reason that Trump has risen, in my opinion, is you're not free trading with anything similar to what Adam Smith in The Invisible Hand was talking about. He's talking about England and Holland and France and the United States and Spain trading, not communist Chinese.
Right.
A billion people under
or even places like Bangladesh or India or like these very low level places where they will absolutely, you know, do whatever it takes to get over on you.
Well, cheap labor from freer societies, I'm not so concerned about.
Okay.
I'm not. If some of that work can
if
go
they're
and
free,
those
but
company,
I know what you mean. China is worse. Yeah.
I'm not saying we make it impossible to trade with us, but
the
regime in Beijing in a heartbeat during war could centralize, nationalize all of its economy straight back into a communist model. And it has that kind of exerts that kind of despotism in its business environment. Okay, that's not what we were talking about when we wanted a free trade. So I'm in support of Trump and trying to get the intellectual property theft and the outright dumping, the actual naked attempts to destroy certain U.S. industries, to just have them so that they could raise the price or do what they want in the industry.
One thing I think you got to try to remember is, yes, it will. These type of tariffs and trade war will cause inefficiencies. So you won't find the perfect equilibrium, and there will be U.S. suffering because of it. There will be farmers or others in the U.S. not able to export as much. They'll be in trouble. But guess what? It's a financial war. This is not a game. It's how much damage are you doing to the enemy relative to how much damage you're taking.
But if you were in a pure consumption tax regime, income tax was banned. And the reason it ought to be is taxation fundamentally reduces the economic activity to which it's applied. It does not increase the amount that would otherwise naturally occur. It always has a dampening effect. So when you want more of something, you shouldn't tax it. And why would we have a system that taxed income? We want more of that.
Right. And we want more savings, too. And what's the best thing to have savings is more income.
Less consumerism.
This would – now, that would – you know, the thing is that would – if we just switched to this tomorrow, or the economy would
– I don't think
go
this
into
ship
a major
can turn around.
It's
sailing since 1913
like
after
Titanic.
The 16th Amendment, and it would take fundamental societal breakdown and rebuild
right.
to bring this
– I pretty much agree, because if you did it tomorrow and it changed the entire model, it would all fall apart, because the only thing keeping things apart is people taking on debt and consuming massive amounts. We actually tax that. You know, not be able to have,
to undermine the, you know, long range, deep penetration ideas that we're surfacing on Patriot Power Hour. You want to, you know, peacefully bring about change, and constitutional amendments and societal reform for the better should happen peacefully. So if these ideas take hold, someone hears episode 54 on April 16th, 2019, and says, hey, I heard those guys talking about let's not do income tax anymore. You could see a repeal of the 16th Amendment. I mean, it'd be easy enough to do.
No, absolutely.
But think of the other question to ask is, businesses are now responsible for paying taxes. They have to collect them. Now, it works pretty well at the state level, but what happens when all businesses all the time have to do that? I actually prefer, if we have to have such a massive federal government and the business estates that depend on it, they should be responsible for, you know, having an interface with the government to say taxes are too high. Right now, they put it on the people. And I think from the 63rd Congress in 2013, those rats, those rat bastards.
1913.
Yeah.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Should just remember, perhaps the worst Congress in the United States history, as the 63rd.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, all right, we're going to break here in a second. While we do complain and talk about these things, we're also looking for solutions. So I agree. I'm of the opinion the system will collapse sometime in the future. So we're not just bitching about that. We're thinking, hey, what can we do to rebuild from the ashes? Maybe this is the answer, maybe not, but we're
the idea of setting
it.
Those certain basic intensities off limits the next time around, it might make more sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Coming out of that.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, folks. Stick with us. Yeah, real short break. We'll be coming back with a future danger news blitz. We'll hit that hard and keep the discussion going. We'll be right back. Patriot Power Hour.
Stay right here for more of the Patriot Power Hour, the flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network.
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club. Third rule of Fight Club, someone yells stop, goes limp, taps out, the fight is over. Fourth rule, only two guys to a fight. Fifth rule, one fight at a time, fellas. Sixth rule, no shirts, no shoes. Seventh rule, fights will go on as long as they have to. And the eighth and final rule. If this is your first night at Fight Club, you have to fight.
Hey, Patriot Power Hour listeners. Disruptions to the social, political, and economic order are a real threat. Ready-Made Resources can help you. For 18 years, Bob Griswold has run Ready-Made Resources from his homestead in Tennessee. He has a ranch where he lives and learns the lifestyle. Supply yourself with night vision. Bug out at night. Most people won't be able to. Perform search and rescue after dark. And most importantly, see your adversaries long before they see you. Ready-Made Resources now offers their lowest price ever on mil-spec PVS-14 monoculars and PVS-30 rifle scopes. Go off the grid with solar. Send secure data by long-range ham radio or mount a PEQ-15 infrared laser pointer on your firearm of choice. Give Bob a call. Talk to him personally. Let him consult with you. He'll set you up. Free shipping, easy checkout, and friendly support. Call Ready-Made Resources today at 1-800-627-3809. Plan, prepare, preserve at readymaderesources.com.
Achieve situational awareness. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe.
Welcome back to the Patriot Power Hour, Future Dan, FutureDanger.com. Going to hit the headlines. Been scarce in recent weeks, Mr. Cochran. We have seen a lull in significant negative news. It's a good thing. Calm before the storm. You'd be the judge. Calm one. We weren't carrying one hot indicator. It's still outrageous. And a few weeks ago, a few days ago, the Attorney General said that, quote, I think spying did occur. About the post campaign. So the shoe is going to drop. We're going to see Column 1 heat up fast when Mueller reports released, This Thursday. Column 2, just two incidental pieces of news, one in the Pacific, one in the Middle East. Japanese Air Forces are doing drills. The Japanese just lost an F-35, so there's probably a huge sub hunt out there right now to try to recover that thing. And boy, the Chinese and Russians have the ships to do it and would be loving to grab that technology. Israel-Iran, a war on the horizon? Not really, but we have Syria getting struck again by Israel. So that was right after Netanyahu was reelected. Column 3, some trends that we're going to talk about later economically. Retail apocalypse now. 75,000 more stores could be closing soon. Bankruptcies and brick and mortar are flying in 2019. Is that good or bad? We can talk about that coming up. American Realtors already announced 6,000 stores closed this year, more than all last year. Federal government borrowing is out of control. Federal government budget deficit ran 15% higher than a year ago. Federal spending at a 10-year high. Taxes collected at a 5-year low. We'll talk about that coming up in segment 3. Column 4, our relationship with nature. All right, we have some strong but not very destructive earthquakes and some dust storms. Stuff like that we keep an eye on. Nothing major there. You can see them all on FutureDanger.com. Column 4 is all the way to the right. It's the sciences that are causing things to happen in nature and in man that we really are focused on. CRISPR research moves out of labs and into clinics around the world. What does that mean for extending lifespans? Would you call that unnatural? And if so, how do you feel about it? We got Chinese scientists editing monkey brains, inserting human genes. They're doing Planet of the Apes shit in China right now. No kidding. And world's first known three-parent baby was born. We have a pictograph. It's a tweet deck card that goes out every time this piece of news under this indicator goes out. And the picture, you got to check it out on our Twitter account, at FutureDanger6. Historically, we've had these, and it's a little picture card that has either two fathers and one mother pointed to one baby, or two mothers and one father pointed at one baby. And it's meant to be an international permanent sign to what we're talking about here. It's multiple parent births. It's, those are headlines. We're going to dig into them later. That's the heat map, and we only have one red, one orange. So relatively low. See anything on the horizon, Mr. Cochran, or should we just go back to railing against income tax day?
We'll do some deep dives, I think, in the second half of the show on some of these topics.
Screw income tax.
We are not finished with that either, obviously. Interesting. That's something I had not seen before. Federal spending at 10-year high. Now, of course, I expected that. But taxes collected at 5-year low. Interesting. Is that the tax cut from Trump?
Apparently.
I'm sure
those reports are based off a Treasury number. So.
Yeah. How much of it is lower economic activity, if any? Maybe not much, but maybe that may.
Is the IRS crippled right now? Are they not able to go after people? And everybody's taking it as a signal.
That's another part
just
about
don't
the
pay.
Sales tax. It's a lot easier to freaking enforce, in my opinion, the sales and tax than that income tax. And definitely these folks put it overseas. For their income tax, whole different
but
story.
The destruction of your privacy of knowing exactly how much you're paid,
true,
is I think removing that entirely from the federal economists, from the purview of the government, treating it on the other side of the Fourth Amendment, which it should never. 16th Amendment should never have abrogated the Fourth Amendment. That my privacy to what I'm being paid by my employer should not be broached. How much I spend at the cash register, right?
Yeah.
Is or online.
Is it public
type
transaction,
in my card.
Generally speaking, for those
yes.
things.
Measure those.
Now, there would
want.
Be a big black market for sales, obviously, with the sales tax. That's more freedom, perhaps. You just do more neighborly transactions. I don't know. But getting back to the.
There'll be gray markets.
Chinese
yeah.
scientist, gene hacks, super smart monkey hybrid, as
yeah.
you call it,
the
planet of the ape shit.
Yeah.
That's freaky. I'm worried about all different types of the
Rhesus macaques.
What?
That's what they're doing. One human genes
issue
in
here.
Rhesus macaques. Why would we ever, under any deity, any divinity, think that we should be doing that? That's not right to the monks at all.
Well, I'm not even worried about the freaking monkey, to be honest. I'm going to worry about some type of mutated virus, monkey. Human hybrid virus that grows in this abomination
you know
that comes
worse?
And kills everybody or makes
them
zombies.
Here's what's coming.
How about that?
Futurama's had it. It's the monkey that has personhood. They're working as hard as they can to get some kind of life form that we have to recognize with the same rights.
What do you think? One of these monkeys or a cyborg?
It's fundamentally,
robot, which
it's fundamentally
first?
Anti-Christian because under the tenets of the book of Genesis, we have dominion over animals, but what if there's one that's half us?
Right. Or robot, half us, half robot. I'm more worried about the robots than the monkeys, to be honest. But from a biological view, this is more satanic in a way, or just messed up to do this. I do feel bad for the monkeys.
Shouldn't be doing that.
But I'm more worried about just where culture and society goes from there. It's such a slippery slope, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I'm watching. Everyone knows
they're only doing this in China. And there's no restraint.
Admitted.
I talked about it before.
Right.
You can't have free trade with a regime. That lets that happen and say it's okay.
Right. Doesn't just let it happen. I'm sure they actively promote it. Not sure if our government and folks really are that much better, but
they've done it
in the open.
I'm
much.
Sure they've completely done it in secret for every military purpose possible.
Right.
But
probably
the fact that
70s probably.
Do you think it's not going widespread in China?
I don't know, man. I've been to Korea, but I've never been to China. So it's hard to say.
No, it's the CRISPR technology. It's this new machine in the last 2 or 3 years that can stitch together the genome in new ways. They have the tool now. It's like the tool to cut and dice up the DNA.
Let's go look at it. We did talk about CRISPR just a few, couple months ago. There's an article that was on Future Danger about CRISPR. So you know more about it than I do because I thought this was just one technique. But is this kind of the Xerox copy machine of gene editing? It'll be extremely famous forevermore. I'm like, hey, go get the CRISPR, go make a copy of the Xerox machine, go change that unborn fetus's genome in utero using CRISPR.
No.
Is it that level? What is it? You have a little
I mean, it's Joseph Mengele level. It's messing with the people and animals in ways that most people should agree shouldn't happen, I think.
Right.
It's gross. And you're going to get a monster. You're going to get a mistake. You're going to get science fiction. It's going to be
right.
an outrageous wild world when like a half monkey, half cow things start happening, right?
Yeah.
And living because they figured out how to stitch it together. And then they start doing it to the people. There'll be gross things that come out of it. And why should we let that happen?
I think you really know it's getting bad when you start seeing this show up in Olympic athletes or like UFC or NFL fighters. That'll be like the first wave. It'll get much worse after that. But I mean, once it becomes that legitimate, I think it can happen.
And leading out of segment one, our standard classic segment one break, right before the music that trails in, we do the heat map blitzkrieg, Ben. I got a little clip of Rutger Hauer, and it's from Blade Runner, where he comes back to Earth because he's about to die because he's been a Superman but short designed life. You know the plot.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says, I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. This classic,
right.
classic right before he dies. And will that emerge? It certainly could.
Yeah, and everybody, we're not.
All it is a taboo because now that it's been proven to be able to be done, there'll be underground stuff. But what about if it goes just wildly mainstream?
Well, that's the question. It's going to happen to some degree. It's going to come out to some degree. It's like, but what is our attitude?
Are we the last
it?
Non-gene edited generations of humanity?
At least I am, I assume. I think you are as well, but who's to say there's not a 2-year-old, 5-year-old out there that has been edited in some way? I don't know.
Children of people are.
Everybody's been edited
children
by all the GMO generation. Food we've been eating. Yeah. How about that? That shows to edit your genes and destroy your DNA. All right. Music's playing. We're going to break here. Patriot Power Hour. Coming back to the second half of the Season 5 finale. We got a couple deep dives.
One more rant against the income tax.
And we got a couple more things to say with the income tax. Absolutely. We'll be back. Patriot Power Hour.
Stay right here for more of the Patriot Power Hour, the flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network.
Do you want to build a website? Web-Based Coding is a leading web design firm building websites since 1998. Veteran-owned and operated, Web-Based Coding can build your website. They specialize in WordPress technologies. Develop a beautiful, pixel-perfect website that is stunning on computers, tablets, and phones. Web-Based Coding can solve your business problems on the Internet, helping you brand or sell your product or service. This company excels in e-commerce through automation, user-friendliness, up-to-date security protocols, and well-written code. Do you have a WordPress website and struggle with it? Web-based coding has programmers that can fix your site, speed it up, and add custom functionality. Call 239-362-6014 for a free consultation. Get a simple quote over the phone or visit webbasedcoding.com to view their portfolio and 5-star testimonials. Do you want to build a website? It begins at webbasedcoding.com.
You are listening live to the Patriot Power Hour, furnished by ready-made resources and fueled by futuredanger.com.
Welcome back to Patriot Power Hour, Episode 5, Winter 2019, season finale. It's been cold this year, so we extended winter.
Winter is here, and it is now gone.
But it's April, and it's tax day, so in the second half of Patriot Power Hour, Episode 54, we want to just rail a little bit more against the income tax.
Yep.
Here's what else those bastards in the 63rd Congress, rat bastards that passed. Again, put us into World War One, right after the passage of the 16th Amendment. I think it was probably the 62nd Congress.
Yeah.
It got ratified, so they put in the income tax. And
Federal Reserve Act.
Federal Reserve.
That,
Federal Reserve
that, that little one.
What else they did, we checked this out. This is where Ben and I were talking about what we talk about tonight. We got back to the point of why is income tax on April whatever, 15th? And they put it that way from the beginning. They put it on March 1st. And my question is, why didn't they put it on Election Day? And, what we don't know is if anybody stood up or had the idea. No. But I think that should be a constitutional amendment. You on this first Tuesday of every November, that's tax day. So that you, all of the public's mind is directly focused on the fact
I love
that
it.
The people
I was pissed off yesterday.
Were voting for control what I have to pay today. And you'd have a dramatically different republic.
You think it would be dramatically? I think it would marginally, a couple percentage points. I don't know if dramatic.
It would have a permanent effect on every election. And they knew it in the 63rd, which is why they purposely put it on the other side of the year.
Yeah, they did. It's almost exactly right on the opposite side of the year. Like you said, it was originally March 1st, moved it to April 15th. I wish it is hard to bottle that anger sometimes. I was the most pissed off yesterday because I did my taxes yesterday. I always do it on the very end, and I have a healthy balance with the IRS. So we'll see if and when I pay that. But you know, throughout the year, you kind of acquiesce to it a little bit, and you're kind of like, bad is it? I keep a fire in my chest. Let me tell you that. But I think this idea is great, and I think I don't think it would revolutionize the world. I don't think we would have a balanced budget within 2 years, but it would make a tangible difference. I think it's actually a great political slogan or idea to run on as well.
There's states without income tax. Yeah. Florida, New Hampshire, it can be done, and the people in those places really prefer it.
Yeah.
Why can't we just get rid of it at the federal level and collect taxes a different way?
Right. Well, I agree. Man, I could talk about this for about 5 hours. And actually, to be honest, I've done radio for, 5+ years now, and I think every single April 15th or thereabouts, I have a rant on this. So.
Well, I'll tell you this. If you threw this show 100 years into the future
– yeah.
Will people be looking back and be so distant from the idea that, hey, maybe the income tax isn't the best way to do this? That they, you know, we are at 106 years since this got thrown on our backs. I am certain I will not outlive the day of seeing this gone, barring major collapse.
Right.
If we don't have a major collapse, I'm talking about something worse than the Civil War, beyond –
yeah,
beyond that.
The 21st century combination of World War II
if
and
that doesn't
Civil
happen,
War.
This is on us by a Congress 106 years before us. It's 53 Congresses before the one or 54 under ago, and we're governed by it. Can't get rid of it.
Hell no. And so ingrained, people don't even – well, you were saying a couple – actually, you said most people you know that it was instituted at that time. But I have talked to several folks who thought, you know, we had an income tax for quite some time. Maybe that's because you are associated with more patriots or intelligent folks. But
well, no, I'm just idealistic because the fact of the matter is most people I know, you know, just take it for granted. They don't care. They don't care where it comes from. They just – it's historically, somebody did it.
Well, humans are really good at, you know, giving money to the king and the lord and just kind of dealing with it. We've done it forever.
Yeah.
Throughout society, throughout all societies, essentially.
But if you place it on consumption, now you have that business and the government, business people and that business class, they're the ones that are predominantly focused on keeping their taxes as low as possible. It's already like that, corporate tax, right? Corporate income taxes is essentially the same thing. I say just shift it all to the supply side and measure it there and collect it there, and it will promote an opportunity for government to control like what society wants to see a lot spent on. And that may have positive effects. You'll see high excise taxes on a lot of things.
Yep,
downside of that would be unless you control, when you shifted the system, you'd have to put firearms off limits because there'd be so many people that would negotiate to force it. But another entire aspect, if you're revamping the income tax, I think it's reasonable that we could also talk about revamping how we pass laws. What if we amended our Constitution so that Congress and Senate had to repass all legislation on the books within a certain period of time from their being seated? I would put it at 48 hours. Yeah. Get your butt to there. Anybody who can't doesn't count. And hold votes to pass it all. And there could be classes that aren't part of this, like all the, you know, federal murder laws and stuff should never lapse. But there'd be a whole other class of lapsable laws.
There are a lot of those on the books already.
Yep.
I'm just saying, like, practically everything would be
out
there.
I'd say make them pass it every single time.
Interesting.
Then we'd have a fresh opportunity to change it. Huh. You want term limit politicians. I don't care if the same guy knows what he's doing is there for 40 years. I don't care about that. Term limit the law.
So I want to get a little bit back into tariffs and foreign trade. I agree with you. Free trade is the most prosperous and effective way.
Historically.
Right, well,
now, though, who are we dealing
with? Not free trade. They're not playing by the rules, but or even close. That's why. No, everyone kind of cheats the system a little bit here and there, but they're like totally taking advantage of it. So I don't consider it free trade. It's definitely manipulated or false trade. But what if there were these sales taxes internally for domestic products, we'd have to have tariffs on those imported products as the foreign sales tax, right? So where would we draw the line? Would we have certain countries with different taxes? Maybe we would have a higher tax.
Well, what you're describing is a world where we all agree that free trade isn't actually possible, right?
Yeah, exactly. True.
But
absolutely.
As long as nations have the opportunity to raise and lower against each other for whatever purposes. Now, the whole international system has a leverage. You know, and these are, you know, boycotts and embargoes and stuff that lead to war. Those are acts of war.
True.
When you said, oh, I'm not going to trade with that country anymore, you know, that was considered, you know, preparation for a fight 2 or 3 centuries ago. Without a doubt. So you're incentivized to not, like, never trade. But having that ebb and flow is
scalable,
necessary
kinda.
Because we already have it in the most crucial areas. All of our technologies that build all of our militaries are all export controls.
Right.
This is all stuff that cannot – it's ITAR, international trade and arms. It cannot be sent out. And any, like, diehard – neoconservative radio host that you might hear saying it has to be free trade all the time, every time, never gets asked the question, well, what about our aircraft parts? Or what about our software for our satellites? Like, oh, wait, no, that's not free tradable. Then why is, you know, cars, right, necessarily? If you have a base, that military base that you got to protect, then I don't see why 2 or 3 manufacturing distances from the military that you also don't say if the reason we have this protection is that so that, you know, we can't start buying foreign tanks, right? Oh, we can't get the parts. I mean, you can lease foreign models. I mean, a lot of countries do that. But generally, we have our industrial bases protected. And corporations under the extreme emergency laws have very little choice but to, you know, work for the government. So like Boeing and Northrop aren't fully private companies in any sense. They're in that base.
Definitely. Absolutely. So it is. It's a scale. It's not one thing I always hated about Keynesian economics and kind of the formal economics I would learn is you're either capitalist or communist. Well, of course, I didn't use that type of language very often, but there was all pretty binary. It was either on or off. Free trade is not just on or off. It's definitely scalable. You can have very massive embargoes and rates on someone you're practically at war on,
well,
or you have very, very minimal to, who knows, Canada. We're friendly with Canada. We want that maple
syrup.
You're
on a spectrum, like a sliding scale.
Exactly, 0 to 100. We don't need to be 100. We don't need to be 0.
State-run import-export or 100% free import-export. And China, and that's what Trump's trying to say, is China on that scale is a state, they're state-owned enterprises.
Yeah.
In every definition other than, you know, in 1970, everybody would have looked at what a lot of these Chinese corporations are, saying that state-run industry.
Right.
Right? Because the involvement of the central government.
So you say that that's like the extreme of that, let's say, is 100 on the scale of 1 to 100.
Yeah,
and
solid,
it's really
solid.
Right. And right now it's really
solid
at like an 85, but they try to pretend they're like a 30.
No,
but they're really like an 85, but they can crank it up to 100 overnight.
The Chinese have just stretched down the scale to an acceptable level. And that's what all the conservatives have said for the longest time.
Yeah.
Is the reason you free trade with them, even after Tiananmen Square, which was outrageous butchery of their citizens and almost toppled their regime. Remember the protests where they ran the people over with tanks? After that, we're under Clinton setting up. you know, World Trade Organization. So we're, you know, bam, we're freely trading with them. Of course, you know, the discussion of the involvement of the Chinese military flowing cash into Clinton-Gore campaigns is,
Well, we know Hillary is
generally
tight
ignored,
relationship with
talking.
China right now. Yeah. You know, Hillary had a good relationship with China, so I'm sure that didn't just grow up overnight. But no, good points. Absolutely, absolutely. And I think what you're saying also is, yeah, they rolled it out a little bit better, a little bit better. And guess what? They can bring it all back in case of a war, or just if they get, you know, kind of ratchet up issues, they could really put the pins to us. But it would destroy
them
too.
It's the practices that they saw the Japanese do. The Japanese did it in their own way, and it was never, it was always capitalistic in nature. But we had all these techniques that they came at us with, like dumping into our markets,
yeah,
cars, just making them and selling them without, under cost, right, or at cost, or
right,
just coming right under, or manufacturing it.
State sponsored. That's why it's not free.
In large
well.
Quantities.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
In Japan, it's Keiretsus. It's these conglomerates. It's highly woven into that post-World War II government, but it's a Japanese way of doing things. There's a Chinese way of doing this, and it's communist and on top of the Chinese way of doing it, and it is a practice methodology, in my opinion, to make inferior goods over time, to wipe out the base industries and countries and preventing from growing.
Yeah.
And Walmart's aided and abetted this,
yeah,
completely,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
with,
yeah,
Amazon.
It was a start, yeah, definitely. So.
But the product we're getting now from Chinese makers is the only place you can get it, and look how poorly it's made. Look how fast you have to buy another one.
You put a great point. Exactly, that's what you were saying. That was a great point is, hey, guess what? Now if you buy a fridge, it burns out in 7 or 8 or 10 years. Yeah, it looks really good.
Why do
really
we want
fancy.
That?
Even these could even be made in America or Koreans. They seem high level. They still got Chinese parts, for example. So, all right, we're coming back to the final segment of season 5. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Achieve situational awareness. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
What if you're not back by the time the engines have cooled?
Why do you keep moving?
What do you suppose he's gonna do?
Retaliate first.
Okay, folks, here's your chance. The Patriot Broadcasting Network has highly affordable advertising options for you. Our shows and our hosts' websites have a very special audience. These are Americans who are preparing to take care of themselves and their families during difficult times. Start reaching this audience with your product, service, or cause. Interested in broadcasting your podcast on PBN? We're interested in talking to you about that, too. Don't wait. Email info@futuredanger.com for more information.
You are listening to the Patriot Broadcasting Network, sponsored by ReadyMadeResources.com.
Back, the final segment of Patriot Power Hour, Season 5, Episode 54. A little bit of housekeeping. Easter weekend is coming up in just a few days. We will be taking next week off. Between seasons, we always take a week off, usually around the big holidays. So next week, we will be off the air and returning. New day, same time. 7 p.m. Eastern. It'll be Mondays.
Season 6 Mondays.
Season 6 will be on Mondays.
Why not?
The first one will be Monday, the 29th of April. Yeah. Still 7 p.m. Eastern if you want to listen live. But, of course, we got all the archives for your podcast, iTunes, wherever you get podcasts. Look us up, Patriot Broadcasting Network.
We'll go into spring.
You're good to go.
Run that spring season.
All the way till 4th of July or maybe even beyond.
Summer starts.
Yeah, man, time is flying. We're going to come up on the 2-year anniversary before we know it, man.
We'll go to the solstice.
I think we did agree we're going to change. We're a little off this time, but No worries.
Solstice.
Now we're
going to
go
solstice.
Yeah.
Why not?
The full seasons.
Keep it in rhythm.
Like the Wiccans or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. People pay attention to the sky a little bit.
There you go. All right. So, again, April 29th, Monday, 7 p.m., we'll be going. All right. Now let's get back to some more tax day ramblings, or maybe we're good on that. I can't.
I said what I wanted to say about income tax. It's not right.
I'm pretty – this is not a simple answer. My big huge thing I just wanted to get across to everybody is I would like us to spend a little bit less first, or at least in conjunction, because just swapping all tax to the sales tax would be helpful, I think, but it's not going to fix the entire situation we're in, and that's a massive black hole of debt. By the way, have you seen that new black hole, the first picture of a black hole? Go back 4 or 5 years ago, I wrote an article called The Black Hole of Debt. And guess what? That was back when we were only 16, 17 trillion in debt. Now we're 22 trillion. This black hole keeps swallowing things up. So
what if it goes to like 350 and no one cares?
350 trillion?
What if they just say that's what it is, but
then
everything's normal.
They've perfectly financial engineered it, and it's a totally fake system.
How about
I think there's limits to it, though.
What if all of humanity just kind of gets fuzzy and says, we're going to pretend the numbers don't mean that anymore? They just shift the meaning of the numbers.
Well, you might start seeing, I don't know. If they do that and the spending increase, you'll definitely see inflation.
Feels to me like they've already done that.
Less production. Well, that's what I'm kind of saying, is they're already in that phase. But you say that widens and gets 10 times worse, 50 times worse.
And then some genius comes along renames the entire system, where they fold it all into a federal account, and then it's partitioned into a state system where – none of that money that was owed meant that anymore.
They start selling 100-year bonds, maybe. Century bonds. I think they might start doing that at some point if it gets really bad.
How do you call it? You got to win the war. You got to drive the tanks up to the capital of the country. You got to get out with the Treasury sector. You got to be like, give us the money for the bond that you bought.
It'll be your patriotic duty to invest your 401k in patriotic bonds, which give the best return out there, a full 3% per year.
None of that's real.
Compared to the negative rates you'll be getting if we have $250 trillion in debt, because no one will want our shit.
That was a childhood sport that I used to play when I was a kid.
Okay.
I come from New England, and when the spring came, the ground thawed, the snow was off, we'd be playing marbles. And you'd go to school with a bag of marbles, and they would be not the little ones, the big ones, inch or so cat size, right?
Yep.
And we also played with ball bearings that were smaller, up to that size, sometimes bigger.
Okay.
And they were like worth X amount of marbles. So the marbles would be chipped and stuff because we had these little dirt pots. And anyways, you play marbles, you throw your marbles out there, and you played in the winter took all. And the school I went to enforced winter take all. The teachers made sure people paid.
Wow.
And you had your marble back.
Anti-snowflake.
Yeah.
Enforced winner takes all. Wow.
So when you walked out of the bus pulled up, you played 15 minutes for the first bell, and you went inside, and you lost those marbles that you had. That's economic, because it's like, I had marbles, but now I don't. Some, and I have some. That's economics. What is a century bond?
What's a 30-year bond? This is the same thing, but they just stretch the imagination further. People think 30
Am
years.
Am I wrong that I can't go there? That I'm more towards, I have marbles or I don't. I have to buy
stuff. Doesn't mean you're wrong.
To win something.
Maybe for
I own stuff.
Wrong.
I have boats. I have cars. I have property.
It's beyond your – the thing is that century is beyond your lifespan. But let the average 30, even 40-year-old says, 30-year bond or a 30-year mortgage is within my retirement range or it's reasonable.
Yeah.
But 100-year obviously changes the game. They're gonna have to find
it and sell it.
They're gonna have to find sources of income somewhere if they have even $50 trillion in debt, let alone the 22.
Should that be called income though? It's not. You're
Robin Peter pay Paul type of thing, or other way around. I don't remember.
Interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, that's what I mean. It's not even paying the principal. Obviously, it's a Ponzi scheme. So how much can you still need that cash liquidity somehow.
Whose idea was it just exploded? It seemed like it came on with Obama. And Clinton never dared to do it.
No, it blew up after, you can say, I don't blame him per se, although I blame him for a lot of other things. The financial crisis really blew it up. And you said that was under George Bush, or, you know, W. So you could say it was him. Obviously, Obama kept it going, but what Obama tried to say is, oh, we had to keep it going to maintain any semblance of, you know, emergency action. But obviously, he never wanted to take it away. And now Trump is trying to take some of the, you know, he's trying to reduce some taxes, but he's also increased spending to some degree. But he's also pissed at the Fed for wanting to raise rates because they're doing it kind of maliciously against
him. But
they're
pulling out his text from 4 years ago, 5 years ago, where he said, you know, the Fed should not do QE3.
Right.
I mean, he's
so he believes that
entirely flip-flopped.
Well, he knows for a fact that what they would be doing now is all political. Because if it was Hillary, they would never would have raised rates, type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So he never wanted it to get in the situation.
It was obvious.
And he knows
Yellen
it's bad,
protected Obama. It was
but
weird.
He knows that, you know, taking him down or whatever would be worse, in his mind at least. But, it's very interesting stuff to talk about.
It feels
sure.
like a fourth branch of government that I don't vote for.
Right, and it controls all the other ones because it controls the money. And guess what? People talk about, like, corrupt governments are getting paid off. Well, what about the people that control the funds worldwide?
And
they're kind of powerful.
That is the definition of?
A bankster. A breaker of banks. So, anyway, all right. Got any other topics for the night? I think we've had a great, great season finale so far. Let's finish strong.
Yeah, we talk about how, you know, fundamentally the income tax, how lending at the federal level has panned out in the last decade. Here's the news, though. Since January, that's been carried under the indicator. You know, bad economic news. Economic news direly disappoints, and we don't like that, right? So going back to, you know, the beginning of the season that we're closing out today, season 5, it started in the first week of December. We're carrying the archive under that indicator. Record 7 million Americans are 3 months behind on car payments. Worst retail sales drop in 9 years in February. Global sovereign debt jumps to $50 trillion. Let's see, retail apocalypse, many, many stories, you know, in March, 465 major store closings announced in 48 hours. We had nearly 5,000 stores closings by March 11th in the United States. And now, April 10th headline, retail apocalypse now, 75,000 more stores could be doomed. No, that's not Zero Hedge, where you tend to see that kind of doom. That's Laredo Morning Times, all right? So this is happening. And, you know, simultaneous to 12 statistics that prove the U.S. is facing a consumer debt apocalypse. Michael Snyder at End of the American Dream is writing those things. So what?
Let's go through those.
What,
I'm always a fan of
where
him.
Where do you see the economy at the end of this winter?
It's just – and, you know, I definitely will admit when I started my website and back in 2011 – and started my radio shows, you know, 2014 or thereabouts, I didn't think we would make it to April 2019 without at least another equivalent of the Great Recession, if not worse. So at least another repeat of Lehman Brothers in a different way, perhaps, but the same equivalent with more bailouts. I didn't think it would be the total collapse by now.
The Hoover-Trump scenario is still
been
that open.
Well, the problem is we've been going even longer, which has built up the tension and raw sewage that we're going to have to deal with when this thing pops. So it's been festering even longer. So it might be setting up perfectly to pin it on Trump.
But those two,
it's bigger than just that, though.
Those two trends. I mean, there used to be a lot of other worse economic news, but the stores are closing and consumers are getting in deeply into debt.
Yeah.
Do they foretell how something could unfold in the near-term future before the election?
Stores closing, I think it is just a natural progression of e-commerce to some degree. There's got to be some other stressors involved, in my opinion. I don't have the data in front of me. It's hard to parse, but I think it is a combination of both.
If online sales pick up the gap, whichever is the next.
Well, it's a question of concentration as well. If it's 500 different franchises or brands or mom and pop stores that close and all that income just goes to Target, Walmart, and Amazon, and that's it. It's the same. It could be dollar for dollar, but that's worse.
What if they go all Chinese on us, and then slowly after establishing a monopoly,
right,
make it worse and worse and worse, so you have to buy more and more and more, buying things deliberately that don't meet a quality standard. There's got to be some quality standards applied to sales goods. But moving to the other topic that I would like to probe your mind on is consumer debt. How could that be packaging right now in ways that become systemically at risk, but the system at systemic risk, we start hearing those words again, we start seeing, you know, the potential of the bank simultaneously default, even though the economy looks like it's going okay. Could consumer debt do that to this system?
Institutional debt, i.e. sovereign debt and corporate debt, is larger for sure in terms of nominal dollars. But I think that the consumer has less wherewithal or less ability to bail, you know, pick themselves up by their own bootstraps.
Or do our bankruptcy laws write this one off? It's not that big a deal.
To some degree, if it's, you know, if it's a couple percent per year, they can deal with it. But if it's all of a sudden 10, 15, 20%.
It's the financiers. If they go down because they built it in a way that destabilizes, it's like a big block in a tower, and something gets layman at the bottom, gets wobbly because of this amount of consumer debt. And Americans, there was a downturn, they couldn't afford to service the debt.
That's how I see it. I see consumer debt as more of an insidious rotting that won't have like a big event, but it'll kind of just all of a sudden at some point it's just too much and it'll collapse. Like a Jenga tower or the old camel that broke, or the straw that broke the camel's
back.
Why
is it that most people that are very wealthy manage to have almost none of it? And why do most of us actually get trapped in it?
Some of it is discipline. You can't lie. But a lot of it is education. And just desperate needs, desperate measures. You know, if you got to buy food and you have a credit card, and okay, I'll pay $200 of my bill in cash and $50 in credit card.
Right.
But then it just keeps building and building. Those interest payments start getting applied to the principal. Before you know, you got $20K in debt and you are ready to do bankruptcy. And that'll get some bank, you know, some some lawyers rich, I suppose.
So another deep dive I wanted to hit was, you know, new news in it. Indicator that is, to me, stark and troublesome, but it doesn't have a lot of news. But when it does have it, it has lots of reds and oranges. This is an indicator at Future Danger we call multi-parent births, Spurgeon, and it means just the explosion of those situations, two fathers, one mother, two mothers, one father. Going back to January 2017 in our archives, apparently a three-parent baby was born in Ukraine using the technique. It's all from CRISPR, as we talked about earlier. March 17, 2017, UK licenses three-person DNA babies. March 23rd of that same year, you know, more articles on three-parent babies are here. None have been born through clinical trials.
Conditioning you, though, definitely.
Flash forward, 11 April 2019, world's first known three-parent baby born, talked about it in segment two. We got – I think this is a problem, Ben, because if you got people who are start to get disconnected from what we have, a mother and a father, the inheritance, the family tree,
right,
do they start being treated as or considering themselves as a separate class of humans?
Possibly, and yeah, they might be seen as mutants in the underclass, but if they actually start to, in perhaps in conjunction with other gene editing or improvements, becoming kind of superhuman, right?
Or inferiority
either way, absolutely. Like,
could you manufacture
like,
voters of a certain
like
type?
Just like social justice warrior.
Could you manufacture voters for people? Would they be a voting block?
Yeah, they'd be for Bernie, I think.
They'd be for something. But it probably wouldn't be for heterosexual, you know, monogamous, unedited variants of humanity.
Oh, it would definitely be not the classic conservative or really even the classical liberal type of look. It would be a whole new world, as I think someone wrote back in the day. What do you think about that?
I think that they should be banned on a widespread basis in scientific exploration. Should stop. Should not be building people from multiple parents.
I don't think it's a bad idea. I don't know. I hope people take your advice. I wish it would. It might not be too late, but in 5, 10, 20 years, it might be too late. Cats out the bag type of thing. Crazy stuff. All right, well, that's the end of the episode. End of season 5. We'll be back April 29th, 2019. Mondays. We'll be very active on social media to promote and remind you, though, so don't worry.
6:30s.
What? 6:30s?
6:30, 7:30, Monday nights.
We're changing the time now. Last second?
Yep, that's season
great.
Six.
All right. I hate you. Guys, gals, we'll see you in about a week and a half. Patriot Power Hour signing off.
You're listening to the Patriot Broadcasting Network, sponsored by ReadyMadeResources.com.
Mark, hey.
It's a bloodbath up here. Morgan's stock has lost half its value. It's down to 2310. It's in a free fall. Clients wanted to talk to you about pulling their money. I mean, it's now or never, Mark. We gotta sell. Mark. Mark, can you hear me?
Mark, you there?
Mark.
Paulson and Bernanke just left the White House. There's going to be a bailout.
Well, they had to. Right? I mean, paper markets would
have
collapsed. They knew. Cash would have stopped coming out of ATMs. They had to backstop this.
They knew the taxpayers would bail them out. They weren't being stupid. They just didn't care.
Yeah, because they're fucking crooks. But
at least we're going to see some of them go to jail. Right? I mean, they're going to have to break up the banks.
Party's over.
I don't know.
You are listening live to the Patriot Power Hour, furnished by Ready Made Resources and fueled by FutureDanger.com.
Hey, Patriot Power Hour listeners, disruptions to the social, political, and economic order are a real threat. Ready Made Resources can help you. For 18 years, Bob Griswold has run Ready Made Resources from his homestead in Tennessee. He has a ranch where he lives and learns the lifestyle. Supply yourself with night vision. Bug out at night. Most people won't be able to. Perform search and rescue after dark. And most importantly, see your adversaries long before they see you. Ready Made Resources now offers their lowest price ever on MilSpec PVS-14 monoculars and PVS-30 rifle scopes. Go off the grid with solar. Send secure data by long-range ham radio or mount a PEQ-15 infrared laser pointer on your firearm of choice. Give Bob a call. Talk to him personally. Let him consult with you. He'll set you up. Free shipping, easy checkout, and friendly support. Call Ready Made Resources today at 1-800-627-3809. Plan, prepare, preserve at ReadyMadeResources.com.